From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell, opening the hour with an episode of Hearthstone of the Death Squad, starring Alfred Shirley as Inspector Hearthstone of the Metropolitan Police. This CBS crime drama is from August 30th of 1951. It's called The Unheeded Warning Murder Case.
Tonight, CBS Radio again presents the famous Hearthstone of the Death Squad, implacable manhunter of the Metropolitan Police, in one of his greatest investigations, entitled The Unheeded Warning Murder Case, with Ronald Long as Elliot Lindsay and Florence Williams as Della Parker. Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad in the Unheeded Warning Murder Case. The scene opens in the front office of the Lindsay Messenger Service, whose business is the delivery of messages and small parcels. A pretty girl is seated at a desk. She looks up, surprised, as the door opens, and a young man, obviously excited, enters. The girl is Della Parker. The young man is Phil Richards, a newspaper reporter, Della's fiancé. And we hear Della say the words that lead to violence and murder.
Oh, Phil, this is a surprise. What are you doing here?
Della, quick, put on your hat. You've got to get out of this place.
Oh, you sound as dramatic as one of your stories in the paper, Phil.
I've come to warn you, Della.
Well, all right, I'm warned, but what about?
Hurry, Della. I'll tell you on the way out.
Oh, you sound awfully silly, Phil, but I love you anyway.
Della, please be serious. You're in real danger here.
What on earth are you talking about?
This place. The Lindsay Messenger Service isn't what you think it is.
Oh, are you trying to kid me, Phil?
Certainly I'm not. This place isn't a messenger service at all. It's the front for one of the worst criminal operations in New York.
Oh, don't be silly.
My city editor, Martin Bayer, just gave me the lowdown on what goes on in this place.
What goes on here?
He's ready to blow the whole dirty business wide open, and when he does, one of the biggest stories of crime and murder the paper has ever printed will flash across the front page and rock the town.
Oh, Phil, you talk like a scene from a 10, 20, 30 melodrama.
All right, don't listen to me, Della. Treat me like an idiot, but whatever you do, come with me now. Quit this job. Get away from this place before something happens to you.
If you think I'm going to give up a job paying $100 a week because of some wild idea born in a newspaper office, well, I won't do it. It's stupid. If you want to know, I'm going to keep this job until long after we're married.
It's no wild idea, and Martin Bayard is not the kind of city editor who chases rainbows. I order you, Della, to leave here now.
You order me, do you? Well, you can't order me to do anything.
I didn't know I was marrying a fool. But don't say I didn't warn you. What a stubborn imbecile you are. Goodbye.
Trouble is, you've been reading too many detective stories. Guess he didn't hear that. Anyway, nothing's happened that a kiss won't cure tonight.
Hi, beautiful. Where's your boss?
If you mean Mr. Lindsay, he's in his office. And don't call me beautiful. Who shall I tell Mr. Lindsay wants to see him?
You're telling him nothing, baby. I'm going in there. That's his door, ain't it?
But you can't see Mr. Lindsay without being announced.
No, get out of my way. I'm going in.
You
stay right here, kid. Well, Lindsay.
Who are you? And what's your business?
So you don't know Bash Cagle, eh? Try something new, Lindsay.
I repeat, I don't know you.
Well, we're going to get acquainted fast, Lindsay. I'm the Bash Cagle you're trying to throw to the cops. And I just dropped by to tell you. One more chirp and I'll kill you.
I've got my foot on an alarm bell that'll bring everybody in this office here. Now get this. Bash Cagle, if that's your name. I don't know you. I've never seen you. You've got the wrong idea somewhere.
Any more of that, Lindsay, and I'll kill you right now.
When I mentioned the alarm bell to you, I didn't mention this gun in my hand. Now leave. Get out!
So that's it, huh? Okay, I'll leave. But on my way out, I'll conk that dame on the dome. The one who tried to keep me out of here.
No, you won't leave by that door. You'll leave through this back door right here. Now move.
Mr. Lindsay, what were those shots?
I don't know, Della. They came from the back hallway. I'll look out there.
I'll open the door. Oh, that man's been murdered. The man who forced his way into your office. Oh, how terrible.
I'll call the police, Della.
So, once again, the steely, cold Hearthstone of the Death Squad and his assistant detective Sam Cook find themselves on the scene of a strange and puzzling murder. And we hear Inspector Hearthstone with Della Parker and her employer, Mr. Lindsay, as he says...
So, your story, Mr. Lindsay, is that a man you had never seen before forced his way into your office, threatened to kill you, left by the back door which you had closed upon him, and was shot down in this hallway about 10 feet from the door of this office.
I'm sure he was insane, Inspector Hearthstone. He forced his way into my office.
That's just what happened, Inspector. I'm Della Parker, Mr. Lindsay's confidential secretary. The man rushed in with a mad look in his eyes, wouldn't let me announce him, pushed me aside, and forced his way into Mr. Lindsay's office and slammed the door.
So you were not in Mr. Lindsay's office while this man was talking to him?
No, Della was outside in the reception room. But you see, Inspector Hearthstone, she confirms my story exactly.
So I should expect from your secretary, Mr. Lindsay. Confirming employer's story is part of a secretary's job. But I wonder, will she confirm whatever explanation you make of that .45 caliber gun on your desk?
A gun? Oh, well, Mr. Lindsay usually keeps that in his safe. I have no idea how it got there, Inspector.
I used it to frighten the man away, Inspector. Remember, he was threatening to kill me. Why? I don't know.
Detective Cook. Sam, hand me that gun, please.
Sure, Inspector.
I see it hasn't been fired.
Not much evidence, is there, Inspector Hearthstone? A gun that hasn't been fired? And the body of a man out there I've never set eyes on before. I wonder who he was.
I can tell you, Mr. Lindsay. His name is Bash Cagle. And his business is that of a dope peddler.
What?
And your business is that of a messenger and parcel delivery service.
Oh, how dreadful.
What's dreadful, Della?
Well, she may be formulating the idea, Mr. Lindsay, that a parcel delivery service would be an excellent way to distribute dope. But we'll drop that for the moment.
Inspector Hearthstone, this excited girl is putting ideas into your mind. She hasn't the haziest idea of what this business is.
Perhaps you should find a less excitable secretary, Mr. Lindsay. Probably safer.
Della. Oh, Della, I was afraid it was you.
Phil, darling, I'm so frightened.
What's this?
Phil Richards from the Evening Star, Inspector Hearthstone.
Oh, now I recall him, Detective Cook. Hello, Phil. What brings you here?
I came to cover the story and to get Della out of here, Inspector Hearthstone.
Phil and I are to be married, Inspector. Oh, Phil, I should have listened to you this morning.
This morning? Were you here before this murder occurred, Phil?
Yes, about an hour before, Inspector Hearthstone.
Looks like this guy gets in early, Inspector. Covers a murder story before the murder comes off. Fast work, Phil.
That's a point, Sam. Why were you here this morning, Phil?
He came to warn me, Inspector Hearthstone.
That's it, Inspector. I had a tip from my city editor, Martin Bayard, that he was ready to blow this Lindsay Messenger Service outfit to the sky. Said he just about had the goods that it was the cover for a big crime ring.
What kind of ring, Bill?
Well, Bayard didn't tell me. He's a pretty secretive sort of a guy until he gets a story all lined up and tied together. But believe me, he's got one, or he wouldn't be saying anything.
Phil came here terribly upset, Inspector Hearthstone, to have me leave my job and... I was silly enough to laugh at him. I called it melodrama.
Phil, get your city editor, Martin Bayard, to the phone for me.
Okay, Inspector. Parker 08-9970, and be quick. Hello, Star Office. This is Phil Richards. Put me on to Bayard at the city desk. What? Well, that's impossible. When? Wait. Let me tell this to Inspector Hearthstone. Listen, Inspector, Martin Bayard was shot down by a machine gun fire.
What?
They got him just as he was stepping into a lunchroom behind the newspaper office, less than 5 minutes ago.
So Bayard's story on the Lindsay Messenger Service was stopped by the hand of death.
And I think I've got the answer, Inspector Hearthstone. This man Lindsay here undoubtedly overheard me warning Della this morning and tipped his mob to bump off Bayard.
It could be, Phil. Now, Lindsay.
I didn't overhear anything, Inspector Hearthstone. I didn't even know this reporter was in here talking to Della. It's ridiculous. And why, in the name of heaven, should I want the city editor of the Evening Star murdered?
As the evidence in this case unfolds itself, the answer to that question may be revealed, Lindsay. In the meanwhile, let's go back to the murdered dope peddler in the hall, Bash Cagle. His body, at least, is on these premises.
May I point out to you, Inspector Hearthstone, that there is only a single set of footprints on the floor, leading from this office to his body, his footsteps and no others?
No, you needn't, Lindsay. I noted that interesting fact myself. That's why I didn't approach the body.
Well, that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it, that I didn't follow him down the hallway and kill him?
Unless there's some very clever trick that I haven't caught on to as yet.
Well, nobody ever goes down that hall. That is, except very seldom. The floor was waxed this morning. The only person walking over it was the murdered man.
So it seems. Now, tell me, Mr. Lindsay, did you use the phone after the murder?
Only to call the police, Inspector Hearthstone. Isn't that true, Della?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Lindsay. That is...
That is what, Della?
Well, I'm sure, Inspector Hearthstone, that Mr. Lindsay did not use the phone.
Detective Cook, Sam, what did you find out from the elevator man?
He says he brought two tough-looking characters up here, Inspector, but they never came down with him. If this is only the third floor, it'd be a cinch to get away down the stairs.
Very well. And, Sam, there's a man looking out of the back office near Bash Cagle's body. I think he wants to talk to me.
What do you know? Okay, I'll get him. Come on, mister. The inspector wants you.
Certainly, officer. I've got a note for the inspector.
You won't get anything out of him, Inspector Hearthstone. He's only the man who handles the parcels, Henry Jones.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay. But I'll find out for myself.
Here you are, Inspector Hearthstone.
Your name is Henry Jones. What's your story?
No story at all, Inspector Hearthstone. I just wanted to give you this note that I found.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Jones. I'll look at it.
What's in that note, Jones?
Nothing of immediate interest to you, Lindsay. I think I take the point, Mr. Jones. We'll arrange it just as this note suggests. Sam, read this note.
I think it's a trick, Inspector Hearthstone.
I'm not so sure, Sam. Come on, let's go back to headquarters.
Back to headquarters, Inspector, with everything hanging in the air? I don't catch you on.
Come on, Sam. Oh, thank you, Mr. Lindsay, for your help. I shall see you later. After your establishment has been gone over with a fine-tooth comb.
Searched? What?
And if you're interested in what I'm looking for, it's dope, narcotics, drugs. Goodbye.
What about me and Della, Inspector Hearthstone?
Oh, write your story for the newspaper, Phil, about this murder and about the killing of your city editor, Martin Bayard. Then look after your fiancée. I think she may be ready now to stop laughing at your warnings.
This note from that guy, Henry Jones, looks tricky to me, Inspector Hearthstone. It says, can I see you at police headquarters? Have the evidence you want. Afraid to talk here. I'm the party who was given Bayard, city editor of the Evening Star, the lowdown. Henry Jones.
The note can be a trick, Sam. Or it can be legitimate. When we talk to Henry Jones, we'll soon find out.
My hunch is we'll get nothing.
And Detective Sam Cook was right. For while he and Inspector Hearthstone are on their way back to headquarters, this scene takes place with Henry Jones in his employer's office. We hear Mr. Lindsay, the employer, saying,
you'll tell me what that note you wrote to Hearthstone was, Jones, or you're out of a job.
It's got nothing to do with you, Mr. Lindsay, believe me.
Were you by any chance making a date to talk to Hearthstone outside of this office? Where you could talk and talk and talk, feed him a lot of eyewash about what you think goes on here?
No, I'm not meeting that cop anywhere. Never had such an idea.
That's the phone ringing in your office, Jones. Go answer it and then come back here.
All right. I'll be right back, Mr. Lindsay. Hello? Hello? Hey. What is this? What are you doing? No! No, don't! Don't kill me! No!
And now, back to Hearthstone of the Death Squad and the unheeded warning murder case. When sudden murder strikes in the offices of the Elliot Lindsay Messenger Service, Inspector Hearthstone recognizes the victim as Bash Cagle, a notorious dope peddler. And he looks with suspicion upon Elliot Lindsay, especially when Phil Richards, a newspaper reporter, in love with Lindsay's beautiful secretary, Della Parker, tells Inspector Hearthstone that his city editor, Martin Bayard, has information that the Lindsay Messenger Service is being used to distribute dope. Then Martin Bayard is murdered, and a note is delivered to Hearthstone from Henry Jones, a clerk in Elliot Lindsay's office, saying he has the evidence that will point out the murderer. Now it is a short time later. The scene is police headquarters, and we hear Inspector Hearthstone saying to Detective Sam Cook,
"Well, Henry Jones should be here any minute now, Sam."
"I still say the guy's a phony."
Inspector Hearthstone speaking.
"Inspector Hearthstone, this is Elliot Lindsay. Another murder's been committed here in my office. The man, Henry Jones, who gave you that note, has been shot, stone dead. A couple of policemen are here already, but I thought I'd better phone you myself."
"Put one of those policemen on the line, Lindsay."
"Officer, Inspector Hearthstone wants to speak to you."
"This is Officer Kenny, Inspector."
"Take Elliot Lindsay, head of Lindsay Messenger Service, in custody, officer. Bring him in handcuffed. Have the offices surrounded so nobody can get in or out, and act at once. Goodbye."
"That's the third guy to go, Inspector."
"Yes, and if we're not careful, Sam, it won't be the last. Well, Sam, see if you can reach Phil Edwards, Richards, at his newspaper. Tell him I want to see him. Tell him to hurry over here."
"Well, that's a coincidence. I had a flash you'd want me, Inspector Hearthstone, so here I am."
"Oh, splendid, Phil. I see you brought Della with you."
"It was dreadful, Inspector. Phil and I hadn't even left the Lindsay offices when that poor, harmless old man, Henry Jones, was killed."
"He was in Lindsay's office, Inspector."
"Murdered in Lindsay's office?"
"No, not killed there, but I heard them quarreling, Inspector Hearthstone and Mr. Lindsay's office. And then Henry Jones went to answer his phone, and he was shot in his own little cubbyhole."
"It's a cinch Lindsay did it, Inspector. Now, Della, tell Inspector Hearthstone what you told me about Lindsay's phone call before my city editor was killed." "Well, don't hold back. There's nothing to be afraid of, Della."
"Well, I heard Mr. Lindsay on the phone calling somebody this morning after the first murder. And he said Phil's city editor, Martin Bayard, usually ran out for a sandwich at a lunch counter behind the newspaper office at about 2 o'clock every day."
"So there you are, Inspector. There's your case."
"It seems that way, Phil. But every indication is that Lindsay was not working alone. The dope racket embraces many men, many killers. I want them all."
"That's what my murdered city editor told me, Inspector. And by the way, I went through his private file and found one very peculiar thing."
"Phil, isn't it enough that 3 people have been killed already for talking without your taking a chance? Oh, Phil, please get out of this case. I'm frightened, terribly frightened for you."
"Well, I'm a newspaper reporter, Della. I write what I see and I tell the police what I know."
"Please, Phil, I'm so frightened. You must take care of me. Why, with all those people being killed from that horrible Lindsay Messenger Service office, I'm afraid to go home. I know somebody will kill me. I'll sit up all night. I won't go to bed."
"Oh, easy, sweetheart. I've thought of that myself. So I've told my mother you'll stay with her until this is over."
"Oh, Phil, that's just what I hoped you'd say. Your mother's a darling."
Let me ask you, Phil. Did you bring those notes you took from your murdered city editor's private file with you?"
"No, but I can get them, Inspector Hearthstone."
"Mm-hmm."
"After I've taken Della to my mother's, I'll go back to the newspaper and pick them up. I'll bring them to you then. Is that all right?"
"Phil, wouldn't it be quicker if we passed by the newspaper office on our way to your mother's? And you could get those papers then, and as soon as you've left me at mother's, then take a taxi and be back here in a few minutes?"
"Oh, that's an idea, Della. I'll be back, Inspector Hearthstone, that way before 10.
Excellent, Phil. You and Della had better run along now. Go through the door at the left.
Come on, Della. See you about 10, Inspector Hearthstone. Bye.
Bye. Yes, come in.
I've got that man Lindsay outside, Inspector Hearthstone. You want him up here now?
Yes, Officer Kinney. Bring him in.
I'll go with you, Kinney, and get him myself.
No, Sam. Let Kinney get him. Now you hurry down and put a good man, a top man, on the job of trailing Phil and Della. Now don't stand staring at me, Sam. Get on with it.
I'm sorry, Inspector. I'll put one of the boys on the trail right away.
So Richard and Della Parker.
Well, hurry, Sam.
Here's Lindsay, Inspector.
Inspector Hearthstone, if you're arresting me for murder, you're on the wrong street.
Why, Lindsay?
Because I didn't kill anybody. It's more likely I myself will be killed.
Again, why, Lindsay?
Because it's as plain as the nose on your face. That young newspaper reporter, Phil Richards, and his girlfriend, Della Parker, are committing these murders.
Oh, really? Well, thanks for the information. But tell me, what evidence have you to support that story, Lindsay?
The evidence of what I suppose is millions of dollars in dope that I found concealed in our uptown warehouse. The only people who could have concealed it there are my secretary, Della Parker, and her fiancé, that newspaper reporter. They're the only ones.
It's a beautiful story if true, Lindsay. Especially from a man who's been on the scene in suspicious circumstances of two murders.
I don't care where I was. I'm telling you the truth, Inspector Hearthstone.
All right, Lindsay. I'm going to do a funny thing. Detective Cook. Sam.
Yeah, Inspector.
Take the handcuffs off Lindsay. Release him. No charge.
What? Release him?
That's what I said, Sam. Release him. You may go, Lindsay. But remember, you may be watched.
You're letting me go?
I have my reasons. Show Mr. Lindsay out, Sam.
And in the meanwhile, Della Parker and Phil Richards are walking along the dark street where Phil's mother lives. And Phil is saying,
I think you were imagining things, sweetheart. Nobody was following us. But just to settle you down, I got the idea of slipping through one door of that restaurant and out the other.
Phil, I'm worried about you. What was that strange thing you said was in those notes of your editor, Martin Bayard? Oh, I'm about to be your wife, darling. We shouldn't have secrets. Please, dear.
I think Bayard went nuts before he was killed. His notes say a woman was in the dope racket with Lindsay.
And who was the woman, Phil, darling? Oh, but come kiss me first and then tell me.
I tell you, Bayard, big city editor or not, was nuts. It was you, Della. You.
Give me those papers of Bayard. Give them to me.
Della, oh, God forgive me, it was you. I'll give you nothing. God help me, you a murderess. A murderess.
And the queen of dope, too. Now give me those papers.
Not this side
no!
of...
Oh,
you killed me.
And good. Now for those papers. Here they are. Now into this sewer with them. And the gun. Help! Help! Murder! Murder! Help!
What's happened, lady?
Murphy O'Say's been killed. I was afraid of this. Oh, take me to a phone, officer. I must call Inspector Hearthstone.
Hearthstone of the death squad?
Yes, he's working on the case that led to this murder.
Well, you can use this police phone right here, miss. I'll get him. Hello? Officer Blake reporting a murder. Give me Inspector Hearthstone. PR, miss.
Inspector Hearthstone, this is Della Parker. That terrible man, Lindsay, has just murdered Phil Richards.
And a few minutes later, we find an hysterical girl, Della Parker, confronting Inspector Hearthstone.
And I keep on saying, Inspector Hearthstone, you're responsible for Phil's murder. You knew a desperate gang of dope peddlers was after him, and you failed to protect him.
I'll never live long enough to forgive myself, Della.
I should have done something.
Recriminations won't get us anywhere, Della. All we can do is help each other. And when I bring Phil's killer to justice, I hope you'll find it in your heart to forgive me. Steady, my dear. First thing is, did you actually see your employer, Lindsay, shoot down Phil?
It was dark, but I'm sure it was Mr. Lindsay. I'll swear it on the witness stand. And I'll swear, too, that you were the cause.
Please, my dear child, forget your feelings toward me for a minute. I only ask you to help me. Do that first, then hate me all you like. I'll understand and forgive.
How can I help you, Inspector Hostock?
Detective Cook, bring Lindsay in.
Come in, Lindsay. Don't try any tricks.
I wasn't near that reporter, Phil Richards, when he was killed. Detective Cook is mad.
Here are some reports from our narcotics squad, Lindsay. Read these letters. There are tips written into narcotics putting three known dope czars on the spot. And you are one of them.
I don't know anything about them. They're typewritten.
They were written on the typewriter in your office. And here is a confidential report to narcotics from the murdered city editor, Martin Bayard, the man Phil Richards worked for.
What does it say?
It says a woman is the head of your dope ring. And don't deny you were operating one, Lindsay.
That woman was Mr. Lindsay's wife, Inspector Hearthstone.
That's possible, Della.
It's a lie, Inspector Hearthstone. My wife had nothing to do with dope.
Watch what you're saying, Lindsay. Your wife may be the woman.
It's not my wife. She's not the killer. This girl, Della Parker, was the brains. She worked the whole thing. She used my messenger service to pass dope.
What are you saying, Mr. Lindsay? Oh, Inspector Hearthstone, isn't it enough that Phil Richards, the fine, clean boy who loved me? Oh, Phil, why should you have been murdered?
Because Phil found out who the leader of the dope ring was, who the wholesale murderer was.
I begged Phil to stay out of this.
And he undoubtedly knew who the woman was who operated the dope ring. She directed the murders to gain complete control for herself.
Mr. Lindsay, I'll scratch your eyes out. Your wife shot Phil!
Get her, Sam. Easy now, Della. Sam, now tell us just where you found the papers and the murder gun that killed Phil.
Sure. I got him out of the sewer trays near where he was shot.
A natural place for a woman to throw them. And you, Della Parker, were the only woman on the scene of Phil's murder.
Oh, that's right. Accuse me for your own mistakes, Inspector Hearthstone.
I hope you'll forgive me for this, Della.
I'll not forgive you for anything.
Not even for arresting you for murder? Grab her, Sam, and handcuff her.
No, no!
Della, we're up. Gag you, Della.
Your mistake, Della, was in being a little too clever, too cooperative, too sweet with the unfortunate boy you murdered. Probably the only person who ever loved you.
You can't prove that I murdered him, Hearthstone.
You'll find I can prove everything, Della, when I present the evidence I have at your trial.
You'll prove nothing!
And you'll remember this when the dark and eternal door of the execution chamber closes on you.
No, no!
That's all, Sam. Charge her with murder. And turn Lindsay over to the narcotics division as a dope handler.
Okay, Inspector Hearthstone.
My only regret is that the men we put to trail this woman and Phil Richards on his murder journey lost them. I was trying to protect Phil from this very thing.
And thus, Hearthstone of the Death Squad writes solved in the files of the Unheeded Warning murder case. The part of Inspector Hearthstone was played by Alfred Shirley and was written by Frank Hummert, directed by Henry Howard, and is a presentation of CBS Radio.
Hearthstone of Death Squad, from August 30th, 1951 on CBS, The Unheeded Warning murder case. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, the email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our website, where you can listen to this and previous episodes in the radio theater, as well as view detailed show playlists, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is show number 1619. We'll turn to some music and variety to wrap up this hour of old-time radio, as we have an episode of The Harvest of Stars. The series aired here in the States on NBC Radio, but this broadcast is a transcription for the benefit of our troops overseas, broadcast on Armed Forces Radio. From January 25th of 1948, the first song, a Latin number, Rio Rita.
This is your Harvest of Stars, starring James Melton. And here is James Melton to open our program with Rio Rita.
Rio Rita, life is sweet, oh Rita, when you are near.
Thank you, and good afternoon, friends. This is James Melton welcoming you to your Harvest of Stars. Our music today includes a medley of famous songs by the versatile George M. Cohan, an aria from Verdi's opera Rigoletto, and Victor Scherzinger's One Night of Love. Later on, we'll tell you an amusing story about an American who fought to save his beard. And now, with Frank Black, here is Oh, Dry Those Tears. Thine eyes to the blue skies, see how the clouds do borrow brightness, each one straight from the sun. Oh, is it sorrow,
sunshine tomorrow. Oh, dry those tears. Life is not made for a song.
George M. Cohan made his first appearance at the age of 10 as a violinist, and during the next half century, he became one of the great figures of the American stage. Frank Black in a medley of Cohan favorites.
Faces meeting.
Here again is James Melton.
Although Americans are famous as the most independent people in the world, some of our most independent Americans are not at all famous. For example, take Joseph Palmer, the man who fought a one-man war for the right to decorate his face. Don Hancock will introduce our story about Joe Palmer and his beard.
Over 100 years ago, America was a clean-shaven nation. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, the first 12 presidents, soldiers, scientists, businessmen, all had smooth-shaven faces. Beards were not worn in the 20-odd states until one day in 1830 when Joseph Palmer came to Fitchburg, Massachusetts to settle down.
Ezra! You, Ezra, come out of the tavern. Stagecoach is just coming in. Get out here, Ezra.
All right, all right. Ain't no sense to make a fuss. Ain't one passenger aboard, and you know it.
I know it. It's that Palmer feller down from Pennsylvania way. Wrote me he's going to buy land and settle down if he likes Pittsburgh.
Why shouldn't he?
Howdy, Tom.
Howdy, Seth. Now, I want you to give me a hand with his luggage, Ezra. Got to show some courtesy to a new citizen of Ezra.
Pick up your jaw. It's hanging like a codfish.
Look at him. That's Palmer getting out of the coach. Look at him.
Why, it ain't human. He's wearing a beard.
Yes, a freak had come to town. Joseph Palmer moved into Fitchburg with his wife, mother, children, and a full beard, something that hadn't been seen in Massachusetts for 100 years. He was a fine citizen. He just happened to like a beard. But to shocked and horrified fellow townsmen, that beard was offensive.
Yeah, it's unnatural. That's what it is.
Why, the man looks like a fiend.
We oughtn't allow those kind of goings-on in Fitchburg.
It's foreign. That's what it is. It ain't American.
A wave of disapproval spread through Fitchburg. Women snubbed his wife. Unknown vandals repeatedly smashed the windows of his house. Pittsburgh's doctor denounced Palmer to his face. But when Palmer was publicly reprimanded by his pastor one Sunday, he stood up and announced,
"Condemn me for dishonesty, sir, or laziness or greed, but not for wearing the beard. I am immovable in the matter of principle, which in this case is my right, under the Constitution of our country, to wear the beard."
Soon all Massachusetts knew about the man with the loathsome beard. The crisis came one day when four men, armed with scissors, brush, soap, and razor, ambushed Palmer before the Fitchburg Hotel.
Let go of me. Let go of my arms.
Palmer, you're a disgrace to Fitchburg.
Hey, you've got us talked about all over the country.
I told you to let go.
Now just lay down and rest quiet, Palmer.
That won't hurt a bit. Let me have them scissors.
I'm warning you. I never fight. But when it comes to my principles, I'll be happy to oblige.
The result of Joe Palmer's principles... 4 bruised would-be barbers and an undisturbed beard. Palmer was hailed into court, where he was charged with unprovoked assault. Palmer was fined by Justice Brigham. He stood up in court and declared,
"It is true Your Honor has only charged me a nominal fine, which I can easily pay. But I am not guilty of unprovoked assault. I am guilty of only one thing, wearing the beard. On principle, Your Honor, I refuse to pay the fine."
Palmer was remanded to the Worcester County Jail, where he remained for over a year, fighting off all attempts to shave off his beard and writing letters which his son smuggled out of jail to leading papers. People all through New England read his letters and began to think a little. There'd never been any law against the wearing of beards. Clearly, Joe Palmer was in the right. What had been a matter for laughter turned into a serious case of persecution, and sympathy mounted for the victim. Yes, at last even the town marshal changed his mind, and he went to Palmer's cell.
Hello, Palmer.
Good afternoon, Marshal. Come to shave me?
Oh, suppose we forget all about this, eh? Forget the fine and go home.
I will not.
Listen, Palmer, you're free, understand? Go home to your family. Get out of here.
Marshal, this is a matter of principle with me.
Oh.
I'm not walking a single step toward freedom until my right to wear the beard has been vindicated.
Well, Palmer, if you won't leave the jail peacefully, there's only one thing I can do. Come on, boys, get him out of here.
Howdy, Joe.
I won't leave here until my case has been honestly and fairly judged.
Easy. Don't hurt him. Careful now.
I demand I be left in jail.
Just ease him along, boys. I'll get the side door open. Don't throw him out. Just push him.
What's that crowd out there waiting for?
You, Palmer. You and your beard.
Hooray for Palmer. Good old Joe Palmer. Give the beard a great big cheer, folks. Yeah!
Joe Palmer entered jail a persecuted man, and he came out a hero. You may see his monument in the Fitchburg Cemetery today, with that famous beard carved in marble, and under it the words, "Persecuted for wearing the beard." Questa quella per me pari sono a quant'al, tre d'intorno, d'intorno mi vedo. Del mio cuore l'empeta non c'era, o meglio dura che all'alce bel son. La costoro avvenenza è quel d'oro di che il vado mi fiora. Di questa mi torna la vita, forse un'altra, domani sarà un'altra, forse un'altra, domani sarà. La costanza ti rama del cuore, detestiamo qual morbo cubere. Sol chi vuole si servi fedela, non amamo se non v'è libertà. De mariti il gelosoFurore, degli amanti le semiane, del rido, anco d'argo, i cerrochi di sfido, se mi funge, se mi funge, una qualche beltà. Ah, mi funge, una qualche beltà.
James Melton, star of the Metropolitan Opera Company, has just sung Questa o Quella from Rigoletto.
Our harvest of stars continues with a song that was written for motion pictures. One Night of Love was first sung by Grace Moore, who will be remembered not only as a great artist, but as one who helped many young singers up the ladder to success.
Starlight grows cold.
with a smile, I've lived a little while. I've known one night of love,
one
Harvest of Stars has been a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
The Harvest of Stars, an NBC broadcast, re-aired on Armed Forces Radio overseas from January 25th, 1948. And that will do it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed my selections. Once again, if you want to get in touch, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com and the website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. Please join me again soon, won't you, for another hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.